Good evening and greetings to each one of you. Welcome to our service. It's good to be together again. It's good to come together and enjoy fellowship together. And I look forward to the week of this, and I also look forward to what God may do tonight, what He can do in my heart and in our hearts together. I want to begin with the question that I gave the children last night. The question was, who said, "Thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee"? Did anyone find that answer? Okay, clear in the back. Who said that?
Darius.
And what about what reference is that? Daniel 6:16. Very good. Right when Daniel was being cast into the lion's den, the king told him this, that your God will deliver you. He had this confidence that the God Daniel served was greater than those lions in that den. And that is a wonderful promise to keep in mind, that God is able to save us no matter what situation we are placed in. Question for tomorrow night is, from where did King Solomon get cedar trees to build the temple of God? From where did King Solomon get cedar trees to build the temple of God? And bring the reference along as well for that. Before we go into the message, I'd like to bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we pause at the beginning of this message. Father, I thank you that we have a convenient place to gather tonight. I thank you that we can gather most of all with your word and with the power of Jesus Christ. Thank you for this tremendous privilege to have a light shining into our lives and into this meeting that's far beyond the light of the sun. Thank you, Father, that this light can do amazing things in our lives, in our families, and in our communities. Thank you, Father, for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you that He can take your truth and the reality of who you are and can leverage that in our hearts and in our minds and bring about a likeness of you in our lives. We thank you for this, and we pray that as we search into your word tonight, that again, you would bring these truths alive in our lives, in our minds. We could worship you. We could see you in a new way, in a fresh way, and that you would give us a blessing that we need. Tonight, you know the hearts that are here. You know the needs of each one of us. And I pray through the ministry of your word that these needs could be met. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Open your Bibles to Malachi tonight. The message that I'd like to preach is one titled, "Ways That Men Rob God." And this title comes from Malachi 3, verse 8. It says, "Will a man rob God?" And that's an interesting question to ponder. I don't know if you've pondered it before or not. Will a man rob God? Can I rob God? And if I can, how can I? And am I robbing God? He says, "Yet ye have robbed me." And you reply, "Wherein have we robbed thee?" Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. In this book, God rebukes the children of Israel for their unfaithfulness. He had made a covenant with them, and this covenant was to be mutually beneficial. It was to benefit him, and it was to benefit them. And we'll see in this book that he says that, "I'm not receiving from you what I deserve. You're robbing me. God, as God, had every right to their response from the covenant. It was his to be received, and he wasn't receiving it. How can we rob God? Turn to chapter 1, and I'd like to read this chapter and learn how we can rob God. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob. I loved your father. And I hated Esau, and laid his mountain and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down, and they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. And your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. Here he shows them how he's related to the children of Jacob and how he's related to the children of Esau, and says, can't you see that I have loved you? A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will he regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle fire on mine altar for naught. Apparently they wanted paid for opening and closing the doors or lighting the altar. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the rising of the sun even into the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles, and in every place incense shall be offered unto my name. And a pure offering from my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. What a tremendous prophecy that is happening today in this building. But ye have profaned it, in that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness it is it. And ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts, and ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver which hath in his flock a male, and voweth and sacrifices unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. How do men rob God? Number one, we can rob God through polluted sacrifices. Let me read from Leviticus 22 how their sacrifices were to be that they brought. Leviticus 22:19 through 25. Ye shall offer at your own will a male without blemish, of the beeves, of the sheep, or of the goats. But whatsoever hath a blemish, that shall ye not offer, for it shall not be acceptable for you. And whosoever offereth a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord to accomplish his vow, or a freewill offering in beeves or sheep, it shall be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no blemish therein. Blind or broken or maimed or having a wen or scurvy or scabbed, ye shall not offer these unto the Lord, nor make an offering by fire upon them upon the altar of the Lord, either a bullock or a lamb that hath anything superfluous or lacking in his parts. That mayest thou offer for a freewill offering, but for a vow it shall not be accepted. Ye shall not offer unto the Lord that which is bruised or crushed or broken or cut. Neither shall ye make any offering thereof in your land. Neither from a stranger's hand shall ye offer the bread of your God of any of these things, because their corruption is in them, and blemishes be in them. They shall not be accepted for you. Here in Leviticus, God made it plain that the offering that he wanted from them was to be perfect. It was to be without blemish. It was to be the best of their flocks. And yet in Malachi, he says, you bring lame things. You bring sick animals. You bring ones that are torn, corrupt offerings. Can you imagine the scene at the temple that God is referring to? Here is this line of men waiting to offer sacrifice the animal that they brought along. And the first man has a lamb with an abscess on it. Big, ugly, pussy things. The second man had a bull calf that had pink eye and was blind in one eye. The family behind him had a billy goat that hobbled on three legs. And God looked at this scene and said, I'm disgusted at this. Take it to the governor. Will he accept this? I mean, really? Your own local ruler wouldn't accept such an offering. And you bring it to my temple, the great king, the Lord of hosts, and you want to offer this broken down animal? And can't you imagine those men chuckling to each other? I'm glad we can bring it to the temple, because otherwise it wouldn't be of any use to us. Meanwhile, back in their herds, they kept the best to reproduce their flock. God felt robbed. What offering does God want me to bring tonight? I didn't see any sheep show up. Didn't see any bull calves or goats. What sacrifice does God want from us? Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That is what God wants us to place on the altar tonight. That's what he wanted us to bring along as a sacrifice to this worship service. Our bodies, holy and acceptable unto God, which is just a reasonable service. And so the question I want to pose to you tonight, if God in a miraculous way could make appear beside each one of us the sacrifice that we brought tonight, what would it look like? What would that offering look like if beside me would appear an animal in the condition of the sacrifice that I brought tonight? Would it be the best ram, the best bull calf, or the best billy goat? Or would I have had to carry my sacrifice here because he couldn't walk? Would it be in bad need of a veterinarian? Or perhaps it would be dead and stinking. Again, God wants us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And so the question that I'm posing is, am I robbing God tonight with the sacrifice that I bring to him? You see, God doesn't want only part of me for a sacrifice. He wants my whole body, not just part of it. He wants all of it as a living sacrifice. And he wants a sacrifice that can respond to him because it is alive. He doesn't want a dead sacrifice, one that stinks. He wants one that is alive, one that is well, one that can respond to him, one that can produce service for him. And so perhaps I'm only giving part of my body on this altar tonight. And I have reserved for myself the other part. And I willingly bring the part that I want to give, but the part that I want to keep for myself, I keep for myself. Maybe I say to myself, I'll live for myself now, and later I'll give myself to God. Maybe I say to God, I'll give you this part of my life, but just let me have this other part. Let me have this grudge against a brother in the church. Let me have those impure corners in my mind. Let me have my fantasy world. Let me have my whatever it is. God is disgusted with such type of sacrifice. He doesn't want just anybody. He doesn't want a sickly body. He wants a holy body. He wants an offering that isn't defiled with sin and wickedness, evil thoughts and impure desires. He wants a holy body, acceptable unto God. And if my sacrifice is an unholy sacrifice tonight, I am robbing God. God deserves this. This isn't unreasonable. This is reasonable. A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is just my reasonable service. How do men rob God? Let's go to chapter 2, the first 9 verses. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already because you do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with them. And ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me, and was afraid before my name. The law of truth, was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you are departed out of the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as you have not kept my ways, but you have been partial in the law. Number 2, we can rob God by not giving glory to God from our lives. This is what he says in verse 2. If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, then if you won't do that, I'm going to bring a curse upon you. He says in this passage, I gave my covenant of priesthood to Levi because Levi feared me. He understood who I am and had a righteous fear of me that cleansed his life. The law of truth is in his mouth. There was an iniquity in his lips. He walked in peace and equity, and he was evangelistic. He turned many away from their iniquity. It says here in verse 6, God received much honor from Levi, but the priests of this day were the opposite. They weren't obedient to God themselves, and they caused many to stumble along with it. They took the glory to themselves and didn't give it any to God. 1 Peter 2:9 says that we are a royal priesthood in the New Testament. Jesus Christ is our high priest, but each one of us are part of the priesthood of believers. In 1 Corinthians 6 says this, what, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The priests took care of the temple and kept it a place that God could inhabit. That was part of their work. They offered sacrifices for the sins of the people and for their own sins. They were evangelists to the people, and they turned them away from iniquity. They taught them truth. They taught them God's law, and this is what God wants from your life. How is my priestly work? How is your priestly work tonight? Do I do the priestly work that keeps my temple one in which the Holy Spirit can inhabit? Do I do the work that it takes to keep it a place where he can abide? Does God receive glory from my body and my spirit? If I receive the glory and the honor from my body, then God can't inhabit it because it's already inhabited by self. Am I being a priest in my own life? Am I being a priest in my family? Do I lead them in daily worship? Teach them about God and instruct them in the ways of the kingdom. That's the work of the New Testament priests. Am I a priest in my community? Am I an evangelist to those around me and turn them away from iniquity? God wants to temple in me tonight. He wants to temple in you tonight. But for him to do that, he must receive the honor and glory from my body and my spirit. How do men rob God? Let's start at verse 10 and continue to the end of the chapter. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother, profaning the covenant of our fathers? Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god. The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. And this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, or receive it with goodwill at your hand. Yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the spirit. And wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed? Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of thy youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words, yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When ye say, every one that doeth good is good in the sight of the Lord, you've wearied me. And also when you say, where is the God of judgment? Number three, men rob God through treacherous behavior. Treachery. Trust or faith. Treachery between them. Husband and wife between this family and that family. He's called treacherous behavior. What he saw in his relationship with them. Just like then, today, the kingdom has a king that deserves our faithfulness. The kingdom has a behavior or an ethic that is expected from its subjects. And God is robbed when he finds treachery instead of faithfulness. Turn to Colossians 3. I want to read this passage, and I'm not going to make a whole lot of comment in it, but what I would like for us to do is to allow what Paul teaches us here, the treacherous behavior and the faithful behavior, and just allow it to So can our minds. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. If tonight I claim to be risen with the Lord Jesus Christ, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. If you're risen with Christ, this is your experience. Yourself is dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. And so tonight, if these behaviors that have been listed here, if they are found in my life, that is treacherous behavior. And that is what God says is robbing me. Verse 12. But this is what he wants to see from our lives. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, longsufferings, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not without service, as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. So if God looks down in my life, and he sees the fruits of the resurrection, if he sees the resurrected life coming forth from my life, I believe God feels like he's receiving his just reward. Does God see the resurrection practice in my life? Does he see it being lived out? And the works of the flesh being crucified, mortified, put under, reckoned dead, not given any space to live. And instead, we've thrown ourselves in to the fruit of the Spirit, into the fruit that comes forth from the humus of a dying self. What God wants from our lives doesn't come from ourselves, but rather it comes from a work that God does in our hearts. And that is why he is worthy of it. God has every right to receive resurrected behavior from my life, just as he had every right to receive the non-treacherous behavior from the Old Testament children of Israel. Number four, how do men rob God? Come back to Malachi. Malachi 3, read some verses in this chapter. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the strangers from his right and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers you are gone away from my ordinance and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. What promise for revival! But ye said, wherein shall we return? Were they still clueless of what God wanted from their lives? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Number four, men rob God by not giving to the work of the kingdom. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even the whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. God says, you've robbed me by not giving me your tithes and your offerings. Verse 10 indicates that his house was empty. He says, bring again these things so that there may be meat in my house. So God looked down at his temple, and what should have been overflowing with these tithes and offerings was empty. And he felt robbed. And he said, you have robbed me. And they said, wherein have we robbed you? And he said, putting in my words, can't you see that my house is empty? It should be overflowing with things, but instead it's bare. Bring these things to me. They are mine. This is the portion that comes to me from our covenant relationship. I don't believe in a health and wealth gospel. And I don't preach a health and wealth gospel. That if you tithe perfectly and do all these things just so that you'll have such amazing blessing in your business or in your life. I don't believe that's how it works today. In fact, you may well end up much poorer than you were. But God desires for each one of us to give to the work of the kingdom. We have a heavy responsibility to give to the work of the kingdom. God could have filled his temple with meat by himself. Tonight, God could advance his kingdom by himself, but he hasn't chosen to do that. Instead, he's chosen to use people like us. He's chosen to use men and women. And so he asks of us to give to his work, to give to the kingdom. God needs us. God has restricted himself to us. It's amazing. A God who knows no restraint has restricted the advancement of the kingdom to us. And so he needs us to give to that work. He needs us to give to that work in many ways. But one of the ways is by giving of our wealth. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Paul gave this admonition to the Corinthians. Give as God has prospered you. And I believe that is a New Testament directive for giving. And our giving should surpass a tithe. And the question I'd like to ponder is, just suppose that we really did give as God prospered us. Just suppose we did. So often, we can compartmentalize things in our mind, and we think, well, this, so much of this goes to God, and then the rest of it is for, and we have many other things it is for. Paul says, give as God has prospered you. Would it change the amount our deacons have to work with if we gave as God prospered us? Men rob God by not giving to the work of the kingdom. I'd like to put those four conclusions, those four points, in a positive way at the conclusion here. Men who don't rob God, number one, give their bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God on the altar of his kingdom. Number two, men who don't rob God keep their bodies the temple of the Holy Ghost and give God all glory and honor from their lives. Number three, men who don't rob God are men of integrity and fidelity in their relationship with God and their fellow men. They practice the resurrection every day. And number four, men who don't rob God give their wealth to the work of the kingdom. Malachi 3:16 says, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth not. Those who feared the Lord spake often one to another, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord. And God gives them this promise that when I make up my jewels, you will be a part of it. I don't think God is confused when he looks at our lives. I think he can know clearly whether he's receiving from us what is his to receive. I'm going to again open this up for time of testimony, time of sharing. One of the reasons I like to do that is I've been in revival services where the only response that was asked for from the group was one of a major commitment to Christ. And I believe that there can be responses the Holy Spirit can prompt in our lives, things that may not be so life-changing. And that's why I want to open it up. And if there's something you'd like to share, if there's something in the message that spoke to you,